This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is Pentecost Sunday, a day when we remember the Holy Spirit's landing upon the souls and hearts and minds of Jesus' early disciples, sending them out into the world in ministry. So as we celebrate that holy day together, I am glad to be with you and to welcome you into this time of worship. I invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. We invite you to sign those and pass them along the row. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link there you can place in your browser to sign up through the website. We have returned to the practice of an insert in our bulletin, which we hope will be helpful and informative each week. There are lots of announcements in there, and I want to highlight just one for us this morning, that this is the final week to register your children for Vacation Bible School. So make sure and take a moment to do that if you haven't yet. We got word yesterday that our Guatemala mission team had arrived safely, and they are enjoying beautiful weather, and we know that they're going to be doing good work this week on our behalf and on behalf of the kingdom of God, so please keep them in prayer. I want to take a moment this morning to say a word of thanks to God for our beloved Francis Merritt, who has been our pastoral fellow for this past year on our staff. She is finishing up that term at the end of May, so this is her final Sunday as the pastoral fellow, and she will be one of our liturgists this morning, and I hope you'll take a moment to give her a hug and thank her for all her work that she's done. She's a member of our church, so she's still going to be part of our community and still being about ministry, but in this particular role, she will be ending that role at the end of May. You'll have a chance to give her a hug in Reed Hall after the service, where we'll have some donuts. It's Donut Sunday, so be sure and take a moment to grab a donut and have a conversation and meet some new folks in fellowship this morning. Although it is Pentecost Sunday and we normally hear the story from the second chapter of Acts, we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah this morning and listening for how the Spirit of God worked through Nehemiah and others in his community to rebuild the city. We are those who are called to be builders and believers. So let us worship the God whose Spirit descends upon us once again this day.
Oh, The day of Pentecost is here.
May the flames of faith dance
in our hearts. The day of Pentecost is here. The day of Pentecost is here.
May compassion be seared into our souls.
The day of Pentecost is here.
May the people of God rejoice. Hallelujah.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Oh God, you are always doing a new thing. Yet we confess that we sometimes close windows against the fresh air of the new life, against the noise of other people's worries, against the wind of change. God of every place and time, we confess that we often draw the curtains against those who are different, against the needs of the people, the broken. Give us an insulation for those cells in our homes, in our hearts. Open our eyes in the fresh wind of our spirit, that we may do a new thing in you through us. And now, God, we offer you individual confessions and sounds. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joy of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Mark and Lisa Mobley bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Mark and Lisa, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your peoples as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness. Throughout his life, the dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Let's see me. And what name have you given your son?
Jack William.
Jack William. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you to be your advocate and comforter all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, Jack, we're going to step a little closer to Mom and Dad and Big Sister. And Pastor Shannon, we're all going to place a hand on you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost. Jack William, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Jack, you want to take a little walk with me? Ooh. All right, Mommy and Daddy and Big Sister are going to stand right here and watch as we go out a little bit further into the midst of your family of faith. This is your church family, and they already love you. They look at you and they think, what a beautiful child of God. And some of them are going to be extra special to you. I bet someone in here is going to be your Sunday school teacher one day, or choir director, or volunteer in Vacation Bible School to help you learn the stories of the Bible and learn about Jesus. And they're about to make a very important promise to you to be your community of faith from this day forward. So let's listen as they make that promise.
Will the congregation please stand and face Jack William? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Jack William to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
Morning. Please join in the prayer of illumination. Lord,
open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. A lesson from the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 and 17 through 18. So I came to Jerusalem and was there for 3 days. Then I got up during the night. I had a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. The only animal I took was the animal I rode. I went out by the night by the valley gate, past the dragon spring, and to the dung gate. And I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned? Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem so we may no longer suffer disgrace." I told them that the hand of my God has been gracious upon me, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us start building." So they committed themselves to the common good. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to share a moment with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary, you want to come join me up here, come on down. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens. And we'll have a moment together. Come on down. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Hey there. How are you, Remy? Good morning. This is your second time up here this morning. What a special day. Very special day for your family. All right. Good to see you. Well, I want to teach you all a very important word to know if you're in church. The word is, it starts with a P, potluck. I know some of you were thinking Pentecost, but no, the word I want to talk about today is potluck. Have any of you ever heard that word, a potluck supper? Well, a potluck is a meal that we share together. So everybody brings one dish. We had a potluck a couple of months ago, and some people brought salads, some people brought a bowl of fruit, some people brought mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese and green beans, and a lot of people brought desserts. So there were brownies and cookies and all sorts of good things. So I came to the potluck with my little dish that I made at home, but then when I got to the church, there was so much food and we had so much left over. And a potluck kind of reminds me of what church is all about. We each come with the gifts God has given us. Some of us can draw, some of us can sing, some of us can speak in front of people, some of us are really good at caring for other people. We bring all of those gifts, and then God does amazing things and helps to build a church. So I know that each of you has special gifts and talents, and that I'm really glad that you bring those to church to help us care for each other and make a difference in the world. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for things like potlucks that help us see that we each have a part to play and that when we join together, we can do a lot of good in the world for your sake. Thank you for the church and for giving us a place to belong and a place that sends us out to share your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Francis and Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you are older or younger, you can sit with your family. If you are visiting with us today, and you've been part of a church and sort of know where we are in the church calendar, you may be wondering why on Pentecost Sunday would we be reading from the book of Nehemiah? It seems a little odd. And it is odd. Pentecost is the holy day of the church. It is the birthday of the church. It tells the story of Jesus' disciples, about 120 of them, gathered in the upper room after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and the church is born, and they are all sent out in different directions to share the gospel of the good news of God's love and Christ's resurrection in the world. But in our congregation, we are walking through the Bible this year. We started in January with Genesis, and we've been reading along through the Torah, and then now we've been in the histories. And this morning, we come to the last books of the histories, Ezra and Nehemiah. And I want to try and help us see that there actually is a connection between the Holy Spirit's arrival in Pentecost and the story of Nehemiah. I was amazed that Heath Jones was able to find the artwork that's on the front of your bulletin. It is Nehemiah surveying the city with a flame coming out of his head, which is exactly what happened to the disciples on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit appeared like a flame upon each one of them. So it's just meant to be, I think. But if you haven't been reading along in the Bible, or you're not quite sure what the history has been up to this point, let me give a very quick review. My apologies to all of you students who've just finished your exams and you're tired of reviewing history, but I'll make it quick. So when the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, God led them through the wilderness, led by Moses, toward the Promised Land. It's a journey that took them 40 years. They arrived in the Promised Land in the book of Joshua, and they began to settle in the land. And for generations, they were ruled by the judges, one judge after another just emerging, and that's the story of the book of Judges. And then eventually the people decided they wanted a king. It wasn't God's idea, it was the people's idea. But so they had King Saul, then King David, and King Solomon, who ruled over the whole land. After King Solomon, the kingdom split into the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And the books of 1 and 2 Kings tell us all about these kings of Israel and kings of Judah, most of whom did not follow the will of God. Things did not go well. The people began worshiping other gods. Things did not go well. By the end of the book of Kings, bad things happen. It happens first in the northern kingdom, the Assyrian army. The Assyrian Empire sends troops, and they conquer the northern country of Israel. They destroy the cities. They drag people away into exile. A few centuries later, the same thing happens. It's now the Babylonian Empire, and they come and take over everything, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. And so Jerusalem is destroyed. The temple of God that was built by Solomon is razed to the ground. The city itself is burned. The gates and the walls are destroyed, and people are dragged into exile. And so for decades, there are people living in exile, longing and grieving for their home. Much of what we'll read in the upcoming books, especially in the prophets, take place in that time. The destruction of the city, the exile, that moment of displacement. So we'll continue to hear that part of the story. But when we get to Ezra and Nehemiah, something has changed. The Babylonians have now been conquered by the Persians. And the Persian emperor, Cyrus, has a different kind of policy toward other lands. He is a religiously tolerant leader. And so he issues a decree that all of the exiles can return home and begin to rebuild. It takes a long time to do that, but the story of Ezra and Nehemiah tells that story of return and rebuilding. Now, Ezra and Nehemiah used to be one book, but sometime in the 15th century, they were divided into two for reasons. But basically, Ezra tells the story of rebuilding the temple. The priest Ezra comes and rebuilds the worship center of the community. Nehemiah comes later and helps to rebuild the city, to rebuild the city wall, and to rebuild the city's well-being and health. And so I think it's one of those moments when we look at these two books together that we see this recurring theme, another one of these recurring themes that we can notice throughout the scriptures. We see the importance of rebuilding the temple, of focusing on the worship life, the spiritual life of the people, and then rebuilding the city, turning outward and helping to work, as the scripture said, for the common good. So we see this rhythm of the vertical and the horizontal, the relationship with God and the relationship with the world, the importance of prayer and the importance of action. We see it in this story of Nehemiah himself. He's in Persia. He's attending to the king of Persia, who is now Artaxerxes. And he's sad. He's grieving for his homeland that is in shambles. And so the king asks him, Nehemiah, what is wrong? And Nehemiah says, I'm grieving for my land because the city is destroyed. And so the king says, well, what do you want to do? And Nehemiah says, let me go and pray about it. So he steps back and he takes some time for prayer and discernment to figure out what God would have him do. And then he returns to the king and asks to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. It's a pattern we see in Jesus' life. He was available in ministry to whoever came his way. He was walking through Galilee and healing and teaching. And he was also, from time to time, withdrawing, going into the desert, going up the mountain to pray, to listen to the Spirit, to discern and commune with God, to be replenished before going back out again. We see it on the day of Pentecost. Jesus' followers had all gathered together to worship and to pray because Jesus had said, wait here in Jerusalem and just pray until you get word. And so that's what they were doing. They were praying. They were gathered. And then the Holy Spirit came upon each one of them, and they were filled with the Spirit, and then they were sent out in ministry. It's very Wesleyan, actually. As Methodists, it's part of our DNA. John Wesley, who founded the movement that became Methodism, believed in holiness of heart and life. He talked about works of piety and works of mercy. The works of piety, as he called them, were prayer, worship, the study of Scripture, being part of a faith community and holding one another accountable in love. And then works of mercy, relieving the suffering in the world, working to make the community around us more just and loving and filled with mercy and grace for all people. And he lived that out in his life, and he would call the Methodists to gather in small groups called classes and bands to talk about how are you growing in faith and how are you growing in action. That's part of who we are. And that's the rhythm of Ezra and Nehemiah. Build the temple, build up the city. And so as I see this pattern of life, I look at who we are as a people of God, who we are as a congregation. And my hope and prayer is that this is a place where you can be replenished, where the Holy Spirit can fill you again and again, because each one of you, each one of us has within us that divine spirit. And we need to nurture it and fan the flames. And I pray that in this community of faith, you are being nurtured and those flames are being fanned within you. And we are also called to be a congregation that is dedicated to building up the city around us. When Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, he looks around and sees a city in trouble. The walls are in shambles. People are wandering homeless. There is trouble, there is grief, there is pain. And we look around at our city and we see some of those same things. God has placed this congregation in the heart of the city of Nashville. And as Nashville grows, we get more and more downtown. We get more and more of the city surrounding us, and our neighbors are shifting and changing, and the needs are shifting and changing. And West End has been and continues to be a beacon, a sanctuary of beauty, a sanctuary of hope, a loving light of Christ shining into this community. And we always have to be asking and reassessing and examining who God is calling us to be now in this new season. And we look at a city where in January they did a count of all of the people living in homelessness. There were about 1,200 who were in shelters like Room in the Inn, as we have as a ministry. But there were almost 700 who were not sheltered, who were just living on the streets in January. We recently got news about our reading scores in Nashville, and with a percentage of third graders who didn't pass the standardized test, and that's a complicated issue, but we have lots of students who aren't learning what they need to learn and who are in schools that need support. And so we have a partnership with H.G. Hill School, and we send folks over there to tutor and to be part of the learning environment there. But there's always that question in front of us, what more is God calling us to do? I believe West End has the potential to do so much more. And we are now in a season of rebuilding. As we're coming out of this COVID pandemic, thanks be to God, as we are all emerging into a new time, this is a time for us to step back and say, God, what do you want us to do? Where can we build up this city? And that will take prayer. It will take time and discernment. But I want us to be people who are listening. So let us enter together into a time, a season of prayer and hope and excitement and big dreams, and see how God might use us to build up this city. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we proclaim together the statement of faith of the United Church of Canada that can be found on your hymnals on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under the Contact Us on our website, or fill out the gray card in the pew rack in front of you and place in the offering plates as they are passed. I want to point your attention to the prayer list that's in the bulletin today. In your insert here on the back page, prayer requests and concerns. Please keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week. If you mark your prayer request as public when you do submit them, they will be placed on this list each Sunday. Today we want to remember Marjorie Young and family as they mourn the passing of the Reverend Carlton Sam Young. Sam passed away last week and leaves behind a large legacy. He is known as Mr. Music of United Methodism. He was a composer, arranger, and scholar of church music. One of his biggest legacies is the United Methodist hymnal sitting in the pew rack in front of you, as he served as its editor. Keep his family and the scores of people who called him friends and colleagues in your prayers. We also remember those from our church that are in Guatemala this week working with ODIHM, the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. They arrived safely yesterday afternoon and will return on June 4th. And as you can see with the rose on the altar, we are celebrating another birth in our midst this week. Ellie and John Chamberlain, who have been a part of our spring membership class, welcomed their daughter Charlie May into the world this last week. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in God's work. Sustainer God, we celebrate today as a day of rebuilding, a day of newness, a day of possibility, a day of chaotic joy. On that day in the upper room, you revealed yourself to your people and filled them with the fire that burns with love, joy, and peace. And it's that same fire that fills our hearts, stoking the embers within us to burn brightly for the world to see. Thank you for the promise of your Spirit that goes with us wherever it is we journey. You provide us with comfort in times of trouble. Fill us with overflowing joy and empower us to fill the world with your light. As we embark on each day, you guide us to live lives that comfort the weary, fill others' cups, and help those around us to find the grace you offer freely. Thank you for filling us with the desire to light the world with your vision for a rebuilding of lives. And Lord, even as we live a life led by your Spirit, we live in an imperfect world and carry worries, cares, and heartaches, things that may cause us to lose hope or lose sight of you. We offer these up to you today, trusting in who you are and who you have shown yourself to be in our lives. We give thanks for your Spirit that prays in our stead when we don't have the words to say. We give thanks that you offer yourself to us, O infinite God. May the remembrance of your concern for us give us new purpose and hope for a new day. And as we close out this moment of solitude with you, we speak together with the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally. Please be seated. We are so excited to welcome three new people into our midst today as new members. We will also welcome three others at our next service. So I want to introduce to you our members who are joining this morning. Emily Schley comes to us by way of First United Methodist Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She works with the nonprofit CMA Foundation and has 4 years of experience working with the youth groups in her previous church. So I know Emily will be very excited to connect with you. Lauren Ward is coming to us to West End from First United Methodist Church in Franklin and has been worshiping with us for a few years now. She is a publishing executive at Forefront Books. And then Jennifer Fox is a staff accountant with Elmington Property Management with hobbies that include writing 2 children's books, series, baking, cross-stitch, and travel. She is very excited about getting involved with the children's ministry and the church's work with those coming to West End, those who are unhoused. Read my sentence correctly. She's coming to West End from Community Church in Hendersonville. We are so excited to welcome you all into the life of the church and give thanks for who you are and how God will work in your lives here. And we're honored not only to have these people joining the church today, but Jennifer is also being baptized.
So Jennifer, I will ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, these ancient questions of the faith that are the questions of baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with this church and the church universal, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, say, I will. Now, to all of us gathered here, we ask you once again, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life? And will you now include Jennifer in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Jennifer with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Jennifer, if you will kneel. Jennifer, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, who created you, Christ the Son, who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit, who is within you and will work within you all the days of your beautiful life. Let us pray. Jennifer, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen.
And now, Emily, Lauren, and Jennifer, with your desire to become members of this family, we ask you these questions. Jennifer, first you. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And now to all of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. To those of us gathered here, please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members with the words found in your bulletin or on your screen. Family of God, Emily, Lauren, and Jennifer are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
At the end of the service, please come through the doors to my left and welcome Emily, Lauren, and Jennifer into the life of the church while you enjoy a donut. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world.
Holy Spirit has filled us once again with the flame of God's love. Twice in this service, we've had the chance to be reminded that we are part of a community of love and forgiveness. And now we are being sent out by the Spirit to work for the common good, to build up the city in the name of Christ and with the love and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.